podcast from the University of Stellenbosch, South Africa. I am Ian Robertson, an orthopedic surgeon and lecturer at Tygerberg Hospital, an affiliate of this university. This talk is aimed at all who study orthopedics, students, physiotherapists, and even registrars. In our profession, we commonly encounter patients with painful tendons. Today I discuss tendinitis and tendinosis. It is on tendinitis and tendinosynovitis in the upper and lower limbs. First of all, a few definitions. Tendinitis is inflammation in the tendon, but tendinosis is degeneration of a tendon. The one is painful, the other one not necessarily so much so. Tendinosynovitis is an inflammatory process in the tendon sheath. Histology of degenerative tendon, usually the fibers lie smoothly and are parallel to each other. In the degenerative situation, the parallelism is lost, there are clefts, and there are areas of degenerative tendon and calcification. Tendinosynovitis of the bacterial type is often seen in the hand, in the flexor tendons, which have a synovium, tendon synovium, and how it presents is with pain on extension of the fingers and the patient's got a temperature with local tenderness over the involved tendon. Later it becomes a hand abscess, a painful, stiff hand. Remember, they can't get much swelling in the hand, so it basically presents a painful, warm hand with extreme pain on extension of the finger. To treat bacterial flexor synovitis more in the surgical field, a general anesthetic is needed with a bloodless field. All hand abscesses need a bloodless field. Then basically you need to drain and divide the tendon. Irrigate the sheath. Early case can be irrigated. Late cases is basically a question of debriding the hand abscess. Post-operatively, hand baths will be needed and daily physiotherapy to mobilize the hand and keep it mobile. In South Africa, we often see tubercular synovitis with thickened synovium. It's a painless condition with a raised ESR. Remember, TB, you get a raised ESR. Positive tuberculin skin test. And the treatment of tubercular synovitis is make the diagnosis. They might need a biopsy. And then anti-tuberculous drugs and early mobilization. Again, physiotherapy, very important to keep the hand mobile. Rheumatoid arthritis also leaves its mark on the tendons. They become markedly thickened, and in your rheumatoid patient, usually they're known rheumatoids, they will develop a thickening of the tendon, especially in the dorsum of the hand of the extensor tendon. If one is markedly more thickened or painful than the others, please tell your doctor. The treating physician may need to do a synovectomy of the involved tendon to prevent rupture. So rupture of the tendon can be prevented if the synovitis is surgically treated. Another condition that warns the younger patients is that your Kuer veins stenosing synovitis. A classical patient is a young mother who's now got to wash nappies, and they present with pain over the first dorsal compartment, which is a tunnel through which extensor pollicis longus and extensor pollicis brevis pass, and this tunnel is in the radial side of the distal forearm. It is a prominence and becomes even more prominent when it is inflamed. Classical test for this is Finkelstein's test. It's more like shaking a hand action. Hand is grasped and put into ulnar deviation, and the pain experienced is over the exact first dorsal compartment I mentioned. So once you made the diagnosis, how do you treat it? It'll need splints to relax. Maybe you can put the patient in the plaster for a while in acute case. A local steroid injection into this first dorsal compartment may be successful, but do not give more than two or three of these several months apart, and then mobilization. they often come to surgical treatment. So trigger finger can also be treated by release of the first dorsal compartment sheath. Trigger finger, what about trigger finger? How does it present? The finger is classically in a flexed or trigger position because it cannot extend. The cause is often rheumatoid arthritis, trauma or other inflammatory condition causing a thickened knob in the tendon which is unable to pass to the flexor pulleys in the hand. It can be thumb or any finger, and they classically finger snaps into extension. Once the thickened lump of the tendon in the tendon gets into the sheath, it can snap open. So the snapping sort of finger or total inability to extend the finger, although there's normal power to it. Injection into the pulley can give relief as a temporary measure, but often these trigger fingers have to come to surgery, and surgical release of the tendon or excising, partial debulking of the lump and the tendon can be attempted. Now we move up to the shoulder. What about rotator cuff lesions? The supraspinatus, infraspinatus, teres minor, subscapularis can all contribute to the rotator cuff, which keeps the humeral head in the glenoid when the arm is abducted. Let's consider the anatomy again. The supraspinatus, remember, is the most superior of these tendons, goes to the greater tuberosity of the humerus, and it passes from the superior posterior border of the scapula under the acromion. Here the space is very limited, and there's also a bursa, the subdeltoid bursa, which is between the acromion and the supraspinatus. Blood supply of the supraspinatus is rather tenuous when it passes under the acromion. Degeneration often takes place at this point, and this is where ruptures occur. A cuff tear can be diagnosed, first of all, with a history. History is an acute episode of lifting something often. It may start insidiously, and they find the mid-arc of flexion of abduction very painful. The supraspinatus tendinitis is very tender under the arc, under the anterior acromion. For the tendon ruptures, it presents as impingement syndrome, which is painful mid-arc of abduction. And there's an impingement sign, which is where the arm is forward flexed, and in the mid-arc, very tender under the anterior acromion. If you put your hand here, it's painful. The patient complains of pain in this mid-arc under the anterior acromion. Torn supraspinatus may also present with this pain, but the abduction of the arm, especially in the line of the supraspinatus, is weakened. External rotation of the arm is weakened. The drop arm test is positive. This is a test where both arms are placed first in full forward flexion and then gradually lowered, and in the mid-arc the involved arm will fall down much quicker because of the pain and inability of the patient to control it properly. That's a so-called drop arm test. And a full-blown case will present on x-rays as a rotator cuff arthropathy with superior migration of the humeral head. Remember that the rotator cuff muscles depress the shoulder and the humerus pulls it upwards. And where there's a rupture, large rupture of the supraspinatus, the deltoid wins and the humeral head migrates upwards to under the anterior acromion. Superior migration of the head on x-rays is a so-called rotator cuff arthropathy. If it is present, it's probably a massive rotator tear. Treatment of the impingement syndrome, as opposed to the rupture, is basically to begin with steroids, inject un- by the doctor and under the anterior acromion, and then physiotherapy to mobilize the shoulder. So begin conservatively always and delay surgery until conservative measures fail. Physiotherapy is basically range of movement exercises of the shoulder. Surgical treatment, operative treatment of impingement syndrome is where conservative treatment fails. So pain gets worse with treatment, and don't operate too early. It may be an early frozen shoulder. The doctor will basically either arthroscopically or with an open procedure remove the anterior part of the acromion to give the supraspinatus enough place, enough space to move under the acromion. Sometimes it's combined, if there is a tear, with a suture of the supraspinatus tendon. Open operations remove the attachment of the deltoid to the clavicle to some extent, to the anterior acromion to some extent, and avoid overhead physiotherapy and activity for the first 6 weeks. So, first 6 weeks, pendulum exercises, etc. After 6 weeks, or when the doctor says, you'll begin wall climbing exercise and other overhead activities. Calcific tendinitis is a easily treatable condition. It presents as a basically pain in the superior shoulder. The patient comes with an acute episode of pain, and a tender over the superior humerus area, and on x-rays a calcification is seen in the soft tissues above the humeral head or above the greater tuberosity. The patient with this needs surgical treatment either by a scope or with open needling. The calcium is released, and if this is done, it's often a very successful procedure. The pain is relieved, and the patient is usually very thankful. Biceps tendinitis presents with shoulder pain and tenderness in the biceps groove. Classical sign, the test for biceps tendinitis is Jurgensen's test. The arm is the patient externally rotates the arm under resistance while the long head of the biceps is palpated near the shoulder in the biceps groove, and it snaps out of the groove and is painful. This is Jurgensen's sign. Complete rupture of the biceps will present as a patient with a, looks like Popeye, with a big biceps muscle distally, but near the shoulder there's a gap. Next problem condition is adhesive capsulitis, or the so-called frozen shoulder, often seen in diabetics, and they present with acute shoulder pain. This must not be confused with rupture of the rotator cuff. The pain is worse at night, and they complain of sleeping on that shoulder is very painful. Limited motion, and remember to ask about the history of diabetes. Adhesive capsulitis usually has three phases lasting up to 2 years to complete the cycle. First, the patient is acutely painful, the shoulder is acutely painful but good range of movement. Range of movement decreases and the pain decreases until the dominant symptom after several months is stiffness in the shoulder with residual pain. And the whole cycle, the shoulder usually mobilizes in about 2 years. This process can be speeded up with physiotherapy. In resistant cases where your mobilization hasn't worked, consult the doctor because the manipulation under anesthetic may work. You must have a compliant patient, however, if you want to manipulate the shoulder. There's always a risk of humerus fracture with manipulation, so it has to be done carefully. And then post-operatively, the gain in motion in the shoulder must be maintained by vigorous physiotherapy. Move now to the lower limb, first of all the patella. What about pain about the patella due to tendon? Jumper's knee is an overuse injury of a patella tendonitis and is a cause of anterior knee pain. The young athlete gets the pain in the patella tendon itself, the middle-aged to elderly athlete in the quadriceps tendon above the patella. Inferior pole of the patella is tender and usually there's a history of some athletic activity. Achilles tendinosis. Now we move down to the heel, and the chronic heel pain in the athlete is often caused by tendinosis in the Achilles tendon. The treatment is reduced sportic activity causing it, and raised the shoe heel may help, and physiotherapy stretch the gastrocnemius mechanism. These tendons may rupture, and then usually the history of acute tendon rupture is a middle-aged male playing a weekend sport, so this weekend warrior presents with an acute episode during his sporting activity, feels that he's been hit on the heel cord by a ball, and he cannot stand on his toes. There's usually a history of pre-existing pain or tendinosis. Classical test is to do Thompson's test, put the patient prone, and squeeze the gastrocnemius of the calf. The foot then moves downwards. Also, you can note over the tender Achilles there's marked swelling and often there's a gap palpable. These patients do best with surgical treatment and the tendon is sutured. Conservative treatment is a plaster in equinus, and even after operation they have probably come out of op with a below-neck plaster in equinus, which over several plasters is moved back into dorsiflexion. Tendinosis of the flexor lucis longus is a problem in ballerinas and patients who perform on their toes. Another big problem with shin splints. What are shin splints? Athletes complain of pain in the lower leg and the posterior medial border of the distal tibia, often seen in running sports. Differential diagnosis is a stress fracture, and the only sure way of determining whether it is stress fracture or shin splints is to get a technetium scan. The x-ray may help in an advanced case, you'll see the fracture. Stress fracture or sclerosis over the tibia, but in a early case, a technetium scan will show marked uptake if the cause is bony, such as stress fracture. In shin splints, there should be a normal, or only the tissue, the early blood pool phase of the scan will be positive. The treatment of shin splints is to diminish the activity. Activity, shoe modification. In tendinosis and tendinitis, treatment of these conditions is very often conservative, and the physiotherapist and occupational therapist is vital to the success of conservative treatment as well as operative treatment. Thank you for listening.